Monday.
Hello, how are you?
Good. How are we doing today?
Doing good. It is cold here, so I'm cozy up and comfortable. Okay.
Well, it's time,
right?
It's time. It's for that. Yes, that is the thing. And for those of you who do not know us, I am Mimi Magic, and this is my wonderful co-host, Bianca. And we are two hosts of the LGBTQ radio show Inside Out.
That's right.
Yes. And Inside Out illuminates and celebrates the rich diversity that is the LGBTQIA plus experience. Our groundbreaking show has aired since 2008 and is Washington, D.C.'s only show of its kind on the FM dial and only one of the handful in the country. As the name implies, we take you inside this community to look at everything from pop culture to politics through an inclusive lens. We are proud to be a part of the legacy of cutting-edge public affairs programming on WPFW, the home of Jazz and Justice Radio. And Inside Out airs every Monday, 6 p.m., with a new set of people. We are every second Monday of the month. So if you like us, love us, come listen. And you can also support Inside Out by giving us a call at 202-588-0893 and WPFWFM.org. So,
right.
A lot has gone on since I spoke to you. Yay.
First of all, we are channeling the fall bob.
A bob for me is just me not doing something with my hair.
I love it though. So we are definitely in our short hair.
We're the Bopsy twins. Yes, the short hair for this evening, and then tomorrow to be. You know, that's why I always say I'm Barbie, right? It's always switching and playing and stuff. So it's always bland, but it's changing. You know,
I love it. I love that we're very bold and brave and just like changing stuff and not like. Yeah.
No, you can't stay the same. I mean, it's like, it gets very bowing, you know, it's like, you got to switch things up, you got to like, change. Well, you don't, right? You can stay the same. Like, I remember a friend of mine, God bless her, but she was like, well, you know, you have a look. And I was like, oh, really? And she's like, no, you have a look. You know, you do. You have a look. You know? And I was like, okay, I get it. I get it. I do. It doesn't go crazy, you know, but it's I guess it's a look or whatever.
It's part of your brand, right?
Is it a brand? See, and that's the thing. That's what she said, too. Oh, it's your brand. And I was like, you know, and I need to start figuring out this brand thing, you know, because you know, Bianca, we do things... for free, you know, for years, you know, we've been doing things for free. And, you know, this goes into our conversation about, you know, there's a lot of these influencers, right, who are in the trans community. And I'm always trying to figure out, like, why are they influencers? Who are they speaking for? Like, you know what I mean? Like, because we run Trans Pride, right? And I felt like this conversation was something, you know, I like to have, you know, with someone like you, because you're a doer in the community. And before, you and I were really close, which has been years. But the thing is, like, before that, you were doing your thing for the community, probably not even, you know, consciously saying, I'm going to do this. I think a lot of it, correct me if I'm wrong, was your journey, your position of like how your life was moving, and then wanting to just volunteer and help, and then becoming a lot more than what you might have even signed on for to be doing. And I know with that comes a lot of like, you know, free engagements of wanting to support, and then it becomes, okay, I'm helping. Okay, now I'm setting up. Now I'm the face. Now I'm this. Now I'm that. And I wanted to ask you, do you ever feel like, you know, as a trans woman, you know, becoming her own and coming into those spaces where, you know, all of a sudden a lot of these organizations want you to do things for them, but, you know, the payment, the monetary value isn't being dangled. And they ask you to do all these things. Did you feel that you had this air of feeling so fortunate to be accepted into being asked that that's why maybe for so long it was okay, and is that it's free that you're doing all this work?
Yeah, you know, that, I mean, I think for me, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this one, because, you know, we're, to your point, we're both kind of, you know, in that same journey where, you know, you were leading, you know, when, you know, the commerce, the LGBTQ commerce in the Washington, D.C. area is the first trans woman. So there's, you know, pressure in there as well. So would love to hear your thoughts on this same question as well. But I think for me, when I first started getting involved with our community, it was solely for personal reason, right? You know, I was going through my own transition journey, right? And I don't know anything and everything. So I myself also have to educate myself and really look to organizations and resources that are available for me, because I didn't know like where to start, because there's so many things that, you know, you go through, and for me it felt like all of them are happening at the same time, right? So when I first really becoming more involved with you know, the community, it was more for like, well, I want to volunteer because, you know, I need to learn about things that I need to know for my personal transition journey, right? And then from there, it just kind of evolved into doing something for the larger community, because I was one of the outcome of, you know, having resources available to you, right? So I know how important these resources and these organizations that are, you know, offering free support for our community during their transition journey, wherever they are in their transition. So I know how important that is. And I wanted to contribute as a member of the community in a larger scale, right? Mm-hmm. From there, it just so happened that, you know, I was able to really use the skills that I have professionally, whether it could be, you know, event management or, you know, project coordination and things like that, because I was able to better understand the event itself, like TransPride, you know, particularly where it's a conference that involves, you know, multiple things that are happening at the same time. So I was able to really utilize the skills that I have professionally and apply them into this volunteer work. And I think through those things, you know, that's where I started seeing myself as like, oh, I can actually do more for the community, right? And it just so happened that people are starting to look to me to, you know, identify how do we become more organized when putting events together, you know, who are the people that we need to be talking to, you know, what does our conference would look like, and things like that. And it's at that point where I started to better understand that this is a lot more bigger than myself anymore, mm-hmm. you know, to the point of like, we're becoming like, you know, one of the individuals that people either partner with or connect with or do some collaboration with and everything. And at first, because I know how important this type of relationship is with other organizations or other individuals, that I was, you know, doing all of them at no cost. You know, as a matter of fact, it's costing me more money because, you know, mm-hmm. I have to, you know, gas, all of those things, mm-hmm. right? And I was okay with that, you know, in the beginning, because I know how important building those relationships are for the future of, you know, TransPride and, you know, for long-term relationships. And, you know, there was a moment where I was like, I'm okay with, you know, doing all of this complimentary, because I also feel like I don't have, you know, that level of skills yet to be like, you know, a speaker or a moderator or a host or whatever the case may be, right? So it's just, you know, in the past 3 years that I've been really thinking about, you know, I guess, you know, getting compensated for the work that I'm mm-hmm. doing. Right? I mean, full disclosure, both you and I in the work that we're doing with TransPride, it's all free, right?
It's all for
long time. It's all of those things. But, you know, we try to, or at least I try to make sure that during our event that all of those core volunteers that we have are either, you know, getting free parking or complimentary, like, you know,
right. Hotel-
or whatever the case may be, to kind of mm-hmm. offset some of those expenses that, you know, that we've been spending. So anything right. that we do to kind of, you know, help, you know, express my gratitude and our thanks, you know, for doing the work that we're doing, mm-hmm. I'm doing. But I think to somebody who is in the same level as like you and me and other, you know, influential members of our community, there's got to be a point where, okay, we need to be compensated to, mm-hmm. you know, the work that we're doing. And not unfortunately, but I think for me, where I have challenges is like, where do you start, right? How do you kind of, we're talking about like brand and, you know, your mm-hmm. look, your identity, mm-hmm. like how do I kind of build this, you know, this Bianca and this Mimi as a brand mm-hmm. organization. So that's what kind of like what I'm exploring now. You know, so like, okay, how can I, how can I still be this person that's putting together trans pride for the larger community, but then at the same time, you know, being compensated to the work that I'm doing, right?
Right.
You know, not
outside.
Even about like,
yeah,
trans,
no,
like,
but outside.
Invited to be like a speaker.
Right.
Get invited to be like a host, like, for example, right?
You know,
it's using it or you using that as a opportunity to like, okay, you invited me as a host, then that's a job for me, then I should get paid for the job.
Yeah, it's the ask. And I think a lot of people who are on these things getting, you know, compensated, they're not afraid to ask. Because, you know, to our credit, even, you know, that we've been running Trans Pride and everything else like that, right? It's elegant and very, very classy. And I love the fact that, like, Capital Pride just posted their Trans Resilience Day and used our wording. But I will, you know, resist on that because, you know, it is uplift, cultivate, you know, everything like that that we always talk about. I, you know, I'm always that person between the two of us that always sees the glass the way I see the glass. I do. Yeah. Because I, because you know what it is that people who make money off of things that don't involve them always bothers me, because when you're out there beating an empty drum and you are retaining money, it's not for that specific situation. That is what Trans Pride Washington, D.C. does. So the fact that other people want to, you know, take up space without like asking or collaborating or, you know, whatever, but then they want you to post it like, oh, great. You know, I feel like that's where it brings us back years ago where Trans Pride was not active. And there was a lot of that capitalism taking place on what certain people who weren't even trans were saying. And, you know, the donations that came in and the tickets and the money and the whatever. And for us, we provide a lot of things, you know, free of cost or an experience of something, because we're trying to gather a lot of different kinds of people for maybe the first time they experience something, because we know our community is very diverse in economic value, you know, what people are willing to do, comfortability. And there, you know, and these other organizations aren't really like caring about that. And the ones that are trans do. They all have their thing, you know, whether it be a ball, whether it be, you know, a drive of some sort. And that gets me to like, you know, well, to answer your question, my feeling on a lot of that stuff is that, you know, I learned a lot after already being involved with the chamber, you know, about, you know, trans issues and things like that, that weren't just like, you know, talking points for people out here. But I think a lot of people expected me to know. My stuff was done very like backwards, in the sense that like I was always the only person like me. And, you know, the stuff that I do doesn't really involve my identity. You know, in fact, it's so far away from it. So I don't really like promote that understanding for it to be a conversation for me to do my business or to deal with people. In fact, I'd rather not be. I think that a lot of people don't really recognize the nuance of certain things and also the levels of people's experiences, because a lot of the influencers that we have out there are paid to be that, you know, are paid to be loud, are paid to be wrong, you know, paid to show one view of an experience. Like, I'm sorry, but there's a lot of people that get these awards and are paid to come and talk. And whenever like some situation goes on, they side with what they think like keeps them relevant and popular in certain things. But it actually is dangerous for our community, because their numbers get views. And so then that means that looks like that's what everybody feels and things. And I don't think that that's true.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, the difference between me and you and, you know, many of the influencers is they have a bigger platform and they have followings and, you know, and stuff. Like that. And obviously, you know, their followings that they have, you know, listen and support them. And to your point, right, you know, it's one of those things that, it's very, one, complex, right? Because we're all entitled to our own opinions, right? And sometimes, you know, some of the opinions is not aligned with, you know, our communities, and, you know, and some of them are aligned with our community, but, you know, it's oftentimes impacted our community because of how big their followings are and, you know, how loud their are, and to your point, you know, oftentimes, you know, there are influencers who are taking advantage of that, you know, clickbait opportunity, right? You know, where it's like, well, one way or another, I'm going to make my money, right?
Right.
Might as well be controversial so I can make more money versus, you know, but, you know, I think we and every, you know, members of our community who, you know, use the social media or feel like, you know, they're a level of like an influencer or, you know, influential member of our community, should always be mindful of, you know, the impact of, you know, what we're saying, right? You know, because it's bigger than that, because you, to your point, majority of people in this country already look at us in a very negative, you know, way. So for, you know, for members of our community to kind of, you know, be in that same page, it doesn't contribute to our movement.
No, and it's only their mess, because this brings me to last week's incident in California where, the supposed, and I say supposed, trans person was, you know, in the female's locker room. And, you know, the one woman, she, you know, came out upset. And I guess she's some kind of, you know, like I would say a light celebrity in the sense of maybe music. I don't know.
A music artist.
So, you know, I keep things light when I don't know them. I still don't know them. But the point is like, you know, the trans person, you know, they had said something to her, like, you know, oh, you know, something derogatory to, it's all he said, she said type stuff, because, you know, nobody was like witnessing this except for, you know, the woman coming out having explicits and being very upset, saying there was a man in this bathroom. But then, darling, when we get into the telescope of it all and we zoom in and we start to look, I didn't know what was going on from the picture, okay, when the trans person was confronted, because that looked like somebody that a lot of, I think, you know, women would swipe left on, you know what I mean, in the dating apps, right? Because they didn't look like, oh, this trans woman, like, you know, this is who this is supposed to be, trying to be, want to be. It didn't hit for me, you know? So for me, I was like, okay, well, this is like a whole different situation where, you know, this individual, and then if they were mouthy on top of it, and now later there's a picture of them with this like very V-shaped athletic type body. Nothing's wrong with that. But just, I didn't see what I was supposed to see. And then when we get into the thing about like who was right, who was wrong, is this about the movement? And then we have people like, Blossom, you know, oh my God, like always, you know, oh, well, you know, it could have been anybody, you know, that you all who are even in the community that are siding with the person or siding with the oppressor. Then there was like somebody. And then I get like Mila Jam, who, you know, I have seen a lot through Laverne Cox. And these are all trans influencers, by the way, and people have done stuff, just for people who don't know. But Mila was like, well, I don't really see it, you know, this person that way. And I don't really know if they really identify that way. And I think we need to be careful, because we're saying that any and everybody can kind of just do whatever at this point. And that is just how I felt about it, is that there is a understanding of being very self-aware and aware of your surroundings. And I think a lot of people don't realize trans women really do think about these things, because it's a fear factor of being who you are, not the intention of some messiness. And that is like the last thing you want to deal with. So for this person to have confrontation and hangout privileges and feeling so confident in the whole understanding and beyond that version of it, I don't know.
I mean, I obviously I came across, you know, that whole incident and in social media, right? And and to be completely honest, you know, without knowing anything about the whole situation, my first reaction was like, oh no, this is not good for our community, right? Because we've always been a target of so many powerful, very influential people in this country. And the way targeted, it's always in a negative light, never in a positive light. So right. For this situation to come out and come out in a very public way, to me, was just like, this is just going to hurt our community even more, right? You know, this would just validate all of the assumptions that so many people about trans people, right? You know, that, mm-hmm. you know, criminals or sex offenders, all of those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was my initial reaction. But then when I really started to, you know, look further about, you know, the situation, and, you know, now finding out about, you know, some history that this individual have, you know, it all are making sense in a way that at the end of the day, no human being would want to say out loud to not protect every individual, right? You know, mm-hmm. we as human being are always going to side on how are we protecting ourselves as people in this society, right? Mm-hmm. It's not about like man, woman, trans, gay, whatever, right? You know, if it's something that is affecting us and not protecting us, I think that's a separate conversation, right? Now, this individual, obviously, you know, my sources are what's in the news, which can be debatable because we don't know mm-hmm. what's true mm-hmm. anymore, right? So, but then at the same time, after having all of this additional information about this individual, I think there is a line that needs to be drawn, because as a trans person, for me, right? For mm-hmm. me as a trans person, it's not something that I woke up yesterday morning and say, I'm going to be trans, right?
Right.
It's something that is part of who I am. Like even before I started saying out loud that I'm trans, there was just something inside me that feels like something, you know, like something is not complete. You know, there is in this body, in this exterior that I'm looking at in the mirror, there is something missing. And that feeling and that mindset is not something that just happened yesterday for me, right? It's
right.
something that I've known for a really long time, even when I was younger. You know, I may not know what it was when I was young, because I don't know where I was a kid, but as I've gotten older, I started to better understand, you know, what the words are, the terminologies and things like that, right? I don't think this individual, and I'm just, you know, saying this based on, you know, the information that I was hearing or was seeing publicly, I don't think this individual was actually trans, you know,
right.
to be honest, mm-hmm. right? You know, because, you know, I get it that I understand that we all transition differently, right? You know, we talked about this in the show multiple times. You know, how I transition is different than how you transition. What you choose in your transition journey is going to be different than mine, right? I totally get that, right? But just given all of the information that have transpired past, you know, the incident, I think this person is just trying to escape so that way they don't have to be somebody else's, right? So they pretend to be somebody else's. So the real them would not come out, or, you know, would not surface in a more public way. Because I wouldn't want that person in the women's locker.
That's what, it's like, right? That's the point.
I don't want it for nobody.
Right? Yeah,
I don't want it for anybody. Mm-hmm, I would also be uncomfortable with that person.
Well, that's what I said. They look like, you know, who, like, they, that person looked like they could have played Cyclops on the X-Men movie. Okay? Like, I'm so sorry. Like, you're sitting over here, you're playing these games.
Yeah.
And, you know, my point is it's for the community to say these things. T.S. Madison had, like, one of those, you know, like, you know, lives or whatever with everybody. And not everybody's sitting over there playing that game, you know, being like, oh, you know, it could happen to anybody. Girl, we're not talking about anybody. And we can't do that. That, like, you know, I'm sorry, like, maybe Blossom got some things done. sue who did it. Because the thing is, I'm sorry, you don't look good. So, but at the end of the day, it's like, I'm not here to say who looks good and who doesn't. But I can also understand how certain people maybe say certain experiences are more difficult for them, because it's not even how people look all the time. It's literally how you behave. It's how you can act, how you can have a big personality or have like a certain way you like to be as an individual. Sometimes it really doesn't have to do with race. It doesn't have to do with your size. It doesn't have to do with gender identity or gender or whatever. And I know some people don't like to say those things, but there's people that are trans that I don't like you. Because of, maybe I would say not like you, that's strong. I don't care for you, because there's certain people that are just a certain way of saying things to me or disrespectful or whatever. And now what am I supposed to say? Oh, well, if I ever have anything against you, it's because of these things that we're going to say. Like, no, maybe you just do too much. And I feel like this person did too much on so many levels. And then to have a scapegoat bothers me that other people aren't actually closing that door. It's not like gatekeeping when you can just say the obvious and say, hey, that doesn't really seem like that fits, you know, our narrative. We could look into this, or we don't have to. Just like male predators do not, you know, speak for all men. Okay. So it's like, we need to get out of that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's also, I mean, this is just one aspect of this entire, you know, conversation
having,
right, about our community. I mean, you know, there's also an opportunity. There's also an opportunity for a larger conversation around really access for everybody, right? You know, I mean, one of the things that I heard is like, you know, we should have a bathroom for the trans community, but that's not going to resolve the issue fully 100%, right? Because now we're calling out, you know, people that's been, you know, marginalized for so long by creating a public restroom.
The mecca of, like,
anybody that walk in there would just assume that they're trans. What if, like, you're a woman and the men and the women's bathroom is full, then you would go to the next available one, right?
Right.
So many of my friends who identify as straight have gone to, like, the men's restroom, because when you have to go, you have to go, right?
Right.
So,
yeah.
I don't think creating a bathroom specifically for, you know, trans people is also going to be the ultimate solution to this, you know, large issue on creating a space for everybody, right?
No.
There's also a culture, right? You know, we all of us have grown up that, and people have told us that there's only men's restroom and there's only women's restroom. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a very challenging change, you know, for all of us. You know, that's why we have this conversation around, well, why do they need bathroom? Why do they have to go to the men's restroom or women's restroom and things like that, right? This is something that we're going to be able to resolve overnight, because, you know, when we're changing people's mindset, it's not that easy, right?
No.
It's a very hard and very complex challenge that we are faced. But I think what you're doing, and, you know, what I'm doing, what we're doing for Trans Pride, you know, engaging in this conversation in this radio, hopefully would help other people to, like, really think that it's not about, you know, a separate bathroom or a bathroom. You know, there is a larger conversation that we have to have on culture, on change, on mindset, on policies, you know, and all of those things. You know, this is so much that that needs to happen. But I think conversations like we're having here on the station and conversations that we're having outside of the station, hopefully, you know, help move us in the right direction. So future builders, future buildings, future establishments will just create an open bathroom for everybody. It doesn't matter who you are.
There's a lot of different places, a lot of different things, and things have been going on forever. I just think that, you know, it's expensive to be a woman. It's definitely expensive to be a trans woman. So I'm just saying, like, if, like I've always said, you know, if you're transitioning, it's like, I don't remember when the goal wasn't to be a woman instead of a woman that's tired of being a woman. Like, I don't, so it's like, I don't know, you're skipping lines. I'm, you know, and I'm not saying that you have to do these things that, you know, people talk about gatekeeping or you got to do this, but it's funny because it comes from the people who look like they've had the most done. You know, and I feel like that's kind of like one of those things where when you consume something for so long and you feel like you're the queen bee of it, you're actually trying to gatekeep other people working to get to your level. It's like, oh, I win this race each time. So if other people feel like this is the goal, then I might not be the fairest of them all. And yeah. I feel like that discourages people because, yeah. you know, it's like, oh, you're not good at math. Oh, you know what? It's okay. Not everybody's good at math. And like, you know what? Don't even try. In fact, we should just all say everybody's brilliant at math. Instead of saying like, no, actually, if you study, you work harder. If you engage with people who are mathletes, if that's what your journey is, and you want to really groom yourself to become the best version of this mathlete that you can be, that's probably going to get you there, you know? And I feel like it really undercuts the whole, everybody gets a star even when they don't win. It's not about passing is winning, but it's safety. And it's also what the culture was for so long for trans women who have made it to their 70s and 80s now, people that we're, you know, celebrating, people that have passed, people that have gone through certain things, because there wasn't a sense of, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do, and society is going to accept this. And I know that things have changed, but I look at it from a safety point of view. Yeah. I look at it as your life. What do you want? Like, I was telling somebody the other day, it's like, you know, a guy wants to date you and you have to be all this bippity boppity boo as a trans woman in order for them to be like, yes, I want to go out. And you're like, can you just like comb your hair and be like, decent with what you got? You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like the bar isn't so high all the time. So for us to be like picky individuals, it's not really that bad if you've worked on yourself to become the desirable understanding of, you know, whoever you want as a partner as a lar. Okay, if that was the whole thing. Some people have to do it, some people don't. I don't know. But we will be back after a short little break with conversations between Bianca and myself. This is Inside Out.
Be left behind. Distance was a friend of mine. Catching breath in a web of lies. I've spent most of my life riding waves, playing acrobat, shadow boxing the other half, learning how to react. I've spent most of my catching my breath, letting it go, turning my cheek for the sake of the show. Now that you know this is my life, I won't be told what's supposed to be right. Catch my breath, no one can hold me back, I ain't got time for that. Catch my breath, won't let them get me down, it's all so simple now. Now a weightless cloud, making time for the ones that count. I'll spend the rest.
Catching my breath, letting it go, turning my chair.
let go. Turning my cheek for the sake of the show. Now that you know this is my life, I won't be told what's supposed to be right. Catching my
And we are back with Inside Out. Yes, the show that celebrates the rich diversity that is the rainbow community. I'm Mimi Magic and my wonderful co-host, Bianca.
Hello, hello, hello.
So we had quite a few elections last week. I know you voted, so I don't have to get into that. But, you know, we definitely swept through on the Democratic side. Very awesome. Very cool. I don't even live in New York and I'm celebrating like Zoran is like, you know, my situation. Like, I just love him. He's so fun. I feel like the energy that Zoran Mamdani brings to the table is awesome. But then a lot of people are, you know, skeptical about, does this mean that, you know, far left politics really are moving the needle and really is the brand moving forward? What do you feel about someone like Zoran versus people that feel, and I'm not going to say legacy, I'm going to say like people who are thinking that it's their turn to come to power is better than what actually people like and enjoy and can get behind on the Democratic Party?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it is refreshing to get some, you know, really good news this past election, right? You know, we live in Virginia, and we have, you know, a lot of wins in Virginia as well, you know, with our governor and as well as the first woman governor in Virginia, right? So there is a lot of win. I think, you know, it was kind of nice to just hear some, you know, really refreshing and positive news. You know, I think at minimum, you know, that was just kind of something that made me happy, right? You know, personally. And then of course in other states like New Jersey and New York as well. I think just from, you know, what we've been seeing in politics and kind of like where we are and where we were before with politics, you know, we've definitely seen a shift of, you know, far left party and, you know, far right party. And that, you know, that's what we're focusing on, which unfortunately puts like a big wall, you know, between both parties, right? You know, it's either you're here or you're on the other side. And, you know, it just feels like there's no more in between, you know, for a more open conversation where there's really conversations instead of just like fighting back and forth, right? I don't necessarily feel that the entire Democratic Party are moving in the direction of like far left, because I don't think that's also gonna do any good for us, right? You know, because we just, you know, it's either this is the only thing that we should be focusing on and, no opportunity for like other conversations or other options and stuff like that. I think, you know, in other states, like in New Jersey and in, you know, Virginia, there's still that, like, you know, in the middle,
moderate,
moderate, you know, party. But I'm not saying that, you know, the far left party or the moderate party are, you know, right or wrong. It's just that, you know, sometimes being that far left or being that far right or being moderate works for, you know, for their campaign, right? You know, so it's one of those things where it adds a lot of like complexity into the conversation, because we should be able to, you know, at least have like a debate even within our party, right? Because I've seen this in our party where if we say something that's like so far left, then you're already being criticized for it, right? You know, so it's like we're not even able to like, you know, have an opinion and have like a conversation. You know, everything just turns into like an argument. Or,
well, but I feel like it's also because there's people who want things and don't even know how it would begin.
Yeah.
And you know, those are the people who just want things their way. Like, let's just be really honest. Like, you know, it's these people like, oh, you know, like we were talking about, you know, even the bathroom situation where, you know, some people in the trans community being like, oh, well, you know, it could happen to anybody. And it's like, well, no, not really. You know, like, maybe it doesn't happen to everybody. Maybe that's why other people have different opinions. Don't say that I'm siding with the oppressors. Like, be quiet. Like, for you to make that kind of statement, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. And you're just too in your bubble that you've created in your selfishness to not even have a real life experience to have that conversation. I deal with people every single day in their homes that I don't even know. But you know what? We get along great. And it's not one of those things like, I don't know who you voted for. Like, I'm not getting all that. But at the end of the day, like, I'm around people that I am not comfortable with, like, in that moment, right? Until like I maybe have had a conversation a little bit, but I'm there to do a job. A lot of these people are so taken out of real society and they're online talking on a computer to people as if they're really in society. If you only go to gay events, if you only deal with trans people, if you only deal with this kind of people, you don't have a farscape of the world. You don't even understand a lot of the nuance that comes with people. And in fact, you're taking yourself out of that conversation, I feel. A lot of things can be read by facts, studies, and everything like that. But you know what people forget to mention? Their experience. And we're not talking about the one time it was negative. We're talking about your daily life experience of being thrown into people. Okay. So when we're having these debates, sure, a lot of times people don't even realize when you watch CNN and all those panels that just get on my nerves, you know, that those people are laughing before and after. Okay, they're maybe heated in the moment or whatever, but they're not really visceral towards each other in their lives, right? Which is probably why things don't really get done, you know, a lot of times, unless you have these real big issues. Seems like some people caved on some things, you know, just today. So, you know, we'll wait for that story because I don't even want to talk about that right now. But, you know, it's just somebody's going to be upset. Like, even the It's Time, you know, Mariah commercial or whatever. Oh, she's being tone deaf because she had Sephora bags and the elves were boycotting. And, oh, you know, it was so against people that are doing this. No, it's not. If anything, it's bringing awareness that this is what's going on with people, to be honest, in a bigger scale. There's going to be people buying stocking stuffers. There's going to be people that, you know, care to enjoy Christmas with a gift or no gift, right? Sometimes you just understand Christmas isn't canceled because the love and the gift of being there is enough. Some people don't even have that to enjoy, okay? So maybe the things you take for granted, other people wouldn't. You know, a lot of people have families that they've created that they don't even care to be with. So it's just the fact of like, and you know that, because why did all those divorces spike up during COVID? Because you had to live with the person you married, okay? So let's calm down here, people. With your pointing fingers at Mariah, don't do it. I just won't stand for it. But it's just the fact of like, it's just like, you can enjoy nothing. You can enjoy nothing. So it's like when, you know, I understand what you mean. It becomes a huge argument because it's like, something's far left or something's moderate or, oh, we weren't seen or, oh, we weren't mentioned or, oh, they threw us under the bus or, oh, how did that work last year with Kamala? people berated this woman for something she wasn't even in a position of power to change, and did it during her book tour, just like within this last month. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so you're bothering a person. She had to say how Black she was, how educated she was, all these things. And here this other fool has shown you he don't care about people. And they're talking about, would he be cool to drink a beer with? He would never drink a beer with you. And it's just the fact of, like, we have these people in these spaces that are constantly downing and doubting the, you know, people like a Kamala, like a person who's not going to put policies in that are going to hurt people, and you're misguiding communities. I think those people should be held accountable. And, you know, a lot of them have, you know, a Breakfast Club understanding, or, you know, they used to be a sports news person more so, and now they have their own show about politics. Why? You know, when they're debating or having a conversation with a person on their sports panel that is only there because of a legacy understanding from, like, their father versus, like, them actually playing the sport. I actually get into these things, believe it or not, okay, even when it comes to the sports side. So it's just one of those things that bothers me, that you can't enjoy anything anymore because there's always somebody upset. Even a video game has gotten that big deal. Like, I play a certain video game I love. There's always people complaining. People quit before even a second round of a tournament because they just are so frustrated. That is the algorithm of how certain people act in their life.
Yeah.
They quit, so they want to make it miserable for everybody else. And when it comes to our Democratic Party quitting possibly today, or, you know, when it comes to election time and, oh, well, I don't know, or, oh, I didn't get everything I wanted, so I'm not going to just do this. Fine. But then after it's bad, then what? I don't want to say ha-ha to you. I don't want to, because I have to endure the understanding to which you didn't care. So it's not really funny. You know, some people need to stop worrying about a commercial and start worrying about, you know, what's really going on in life, right?
Yeah.
Where to go vote for your local elections, what's happening.
There are bigger issues to really focus on than, you know, all the little ones, all the little things that...
The rage bait.
But oftentimes it doesn't really even have any connection to, like, what is, you know, really happening in our country, right? You know, and... It's almost similar to our initial conversation about, you know, there are influencers who's just making a comment or just posting a live video just to get that, you know, money or clickbait, right?
The rage bait right. To create
exactly.
Issue.
That's no different than, you know, in some of the people who are in politics, right? Even
yes.
People who are not in politics, you know, they just want to get that, like, it's almost that, like, selfish thing. It's like, well, I'm just going to say this because it's controversial and it's going to get me, you know, clicks or likes or followers or anything like that. But there's no meaning into, like, what they're saying, or they're not making any difference or movement into the overall platform.
And then those people are in real life, and then when you say you don't care for what they said, or, you know, you don't really particularly like them, then it becomes... Oh, everything that they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there are people like that. Not to be, like, tone deaf to people, that really does happen, because it's happened to all of us, especially in marginalized communities, people of color, your identity, if it's different or whatever. But I feel like there's a level of where it's like, I've known many a people, same community, color, everything, that just, you know, will say things to hurt people's feelings or to create issue or whatever, and love to do it. So I'm not going to sit there and put them as my spokesperson to something that's really serious.
Yeah.
You know, or make it where it's like you're speaking for me, because one, I'm not going to have somebody who has a lesser experience of, you know, maybe being unbiased for certain situations or whatever. I mean, you and I get flack because people think that we should have had a certain experience for whose relief. That's something that bothers me in our community, too, by the way. It's like, okay, why do we have to have your experience in order to not utilize our experience, you know, the background, the business, the knowledge, in order to uplift and help and create a different version for folks? Because that's not fair, right? It's like, oh, well, because you didn't suffer the way I did. Okay, well, I suffer differently.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and maybe just because I don't sit here and lay on Instagram and tell everybody all about my ups and downs, okay, unless I choose to. But I like to choose to tell somebody something when I figured out the solution, because it's nothing like telling somebody a problem that's just the problem, at least on my end, right? I just, I'm not going to just, girl, this is the problem. And then you go, okay, girl, so what you going to do about it?
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's, you know, that's part of like the problem. You know, so many of people just kind of put all of us in one box, right? That we should all have the same experience, that we should all be going through the same. But, you know, in reality, it's like your experience is different than my experience and that other people's experience. But that doesn't mean that any of our experiences are not valid, right? You know, it's just different, you know. And unfortunately, because we still live in a society and, you know, there's a culture that trans people are bad people, that's what people just tend to like use all the time, right?
Well, yeah, but also, aren't there people who do like stupid things that create that image? Like, so I mean, like I said, I don't care for some of the people that they talk about, right? And I go, I don't really care for that person, but you know, then it say like I said that, right? You know, like I'm really understanding that, like I'm not trying to go viral on the fact of, you know, being a person who does create community and is a leader of a community, right? And then to say like, I think you're wrong, right? Because it's different if I'm like in the comments and just, okay, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure you see my little like face show up on certain things, but I'm just like, yeah, that's different than to really get into it with somebody who I would not care to even have a debate with, right? Like, because it's just going to be loud and ridiculous. And to me, I'm going to really like get you together, because all of the, oh, I'm going to gather you, or I'm going to clock this, or I'm going to whatever. That's all cute. You know, it's like Mortal Kombat of words, but you better know your combination, honey, or you're going to lose the match. And for me, I am on that level right now where I'm a little like, who's going to stop the ridiculousness so we can actually come to the table, have something to say, and ensure that we are showing the best foot forward to ensure we actually have new legacy. We have understood the legacy, or, you know, the path that has been brought before us, right? But we also have to know that what we've done in order to be who we are in the way that we're doing it is also a new way forward. And it does create legacy of having someone to look up to that you don't have to look past so much to be proud of. And so, you know, and that's to you, my sister, to say to you, I don't have to look past things to say, oh, but I still support you. And I feel like we've gotten a weird taste in our mouths within sometimes communities, you know, the LGBTQ community, to say like, oh, you do all these things. Oh, but you know that, yeah, okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like not everybody has that. You know what I'm saying? Sexiest Man Alive is on the cover. I don't hear no drama about him. And I love it. So, you know what I'm saying? You know, he's just gorgeous, by the way. Go see Wicked.
I mean, I love that we're having this conversation, because, you know, this is something that is truly important to, you know, to us and to our listeners, right? So I hope that our listeners were able to get some takeaways from the conversations that we're having. And, you know, we're going to leave you this at minimum. Hopefully this sparks some curiosity for you, our listeners, to really continue to learn and educate yourself about, you know, our community, the queer community. And, you know, that's why we're engaging in these type of conversations in our show. So, Mimi, I love these hot topics, right? And hopefully we'll get more of these.
We will. And it's time. So I will see you in a few weeks, Bianca, and we'll be getting things together. And we love you and we enjoy you. Y'all have a great night.
Good night, everyone.
I thought I was yours. Good news, family. You can now take WPFW everywhere you go with our brand new WPFW radio app. Stream Jazz and Justice live, listen to archived shows, view the program schedule and playlists, donate, and more, all right from your phone. Download the WPFW radio app today from Apple App or Google Play Stores. WPFW in your pocket. Jazz and Justice wherever you are.
There will be a grand celebration on Veterans Day, Tuesday, November 11th, at the African American Civil War Memorial, Vermont Avenue and 10th Street, Northwest Washington, D.C., from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. We'll be reading the names aloud of the 209,145 black soldiers and their white officers that are written on the memorial walls. People are coming from all around the country to participate. The live reading will also be streamed nationwide via YouTube. If interested in joining